Hello, welcome into episode 137 of Caithness Craft Collective. I'm Louise. You might hear a quattro, a dog breathing. Hopefully you'll not hear a buchel. And you might hear a fly. I seem to have a random blue bottle in the house tonight. I can't quite get it to go out. Today I've got a blather with Marker, What's a Crack, Coming Up, Tartantastic, Me, and the Shoppy section. I sponsor this for my own crafty business, which is www.etsy.com/shop/CaithnessCraft. All links are with the show notes, so get your cup of tea or your dram, and I'll let you know what crack is in Caithness this week.
Now for the blather.
The blather. Marker. Does X always mark the spot? Do you, on your marks, get set, go? Do you know a Mark who lives next door, runs a wee bring-and-buy library from his red phone box at the bottom of his drive? Marking things is all around us. Maybe your toddler has marked your walls with that crayon that they found. Don't panic. Look on Pinterest for ways to get it off. You've all marked the point of your book where you were at with a lovely bookmark. Hopefully from me, that leather one. When you set it down to listen. We mark things. Animals mark their territory. I once looked down to see Quattro peeing on my willy boot when Oscar the Airedale, the neighbour's dog, came to speak to us. He was saying, "Look, this is my owner. You may speak to her, but this one's mine." It's a sign to remind us and others what is there. As crafters, we use markers quite a lot. Us knitters and crocheters use stitch markers. I've got quite a collection now, and I never turn new ones down. Even I don't always use them, because sometimes they're a bit jaggy and catch on that piece of knitting, but they're very pretty and they make me smile to look at them. I've got some favourite ones. Judith from Holland once sent me some, and two of them are blue and white Delft pattern on them. And I used them to mark the middle stitch of the Ishbel shawl when I made it, because I quite distinctly remember it, but I used them too to mark the middle of a shawl that has just one middle line down it. I like the wee plastic safety pin types that you get from Clover, but a lot of mine are brittle and they break, but I've got quite a few, so it doesn't really matter. I like the dangly ones that was sent from PG Knitting Nurse, and I've got them in the wee tin that she sent them in. I love the way that they, when I have them all dangling on one side of the knitting, when I get to the end of the row, I take the circular needle ends and I flip the whole lot over to the other side and I start the row again. It's a way to mark my end and start of rows. Our designer in our pocket, Owlprint Panda, has an Etsy shop selling all sorts of stitch markers, and I'm currently using some owl ones that I bought from her on her pattern Ashton Lane I'm making. I like this matching up of people and patterns and markers. She's some really cute Scotty Dogs ones just now, and some kitchen mixer ones, or some owl ones like I have. So just go have a wee look at her Etsy shop. Do you have favourite stitch markers? Or do you just use a piece of spare yarn? Or can you read your knitting and not need stitch markers at all? A lot of you will like the adult colouring in books that are going on just now. It's not a new thing, although the adult orientated pattern books are. Us bairns never grew up. I've always loved colouring in, and hours have been spent using the bairns marker pens long after the bairns have toddled off onto Play-Doh or on their bikes outside. Once you get past the white piece of paper emptiness, that always reminds me of the Manic Street Preachers song, Motorcycle Emptiness. Don't know why, a bit random. But the marker pen colouring in is relaxing, very Moorish and a hobby in itself. I will refer to Sharpies, but I will also mention Beryl, Windsor, Newton, Copic and Pentel. Who here loves the smell of a black marker pen? Who here has marked their nose by sniffing at this lovely smell? That too, well, health and safety notice, not a good idea because it is a toxic. So don't do this much. Are you a pirate? Does X really mark the spot? I read in a horrible history book recently that Sandy took out the library that pirates used to bury their treasure underneath a dead person, and if they didn't have someone to kill off because they had a prisoner, then they would often use one of their crew, nice, as a freshly dug hole was less suspect when there was a dead body in it. cheery, yeah? It's a really good book, that, but We like markers to point our way, be it on a road or through life itself. A child has markers through its lifetime, such as the baby smiled, the baby got its first tooth, the toddler learned to walk, the first day at school, Daisy lost her first tooth, finally. The markers that they are growing up. Marks are quite important. Even those crayon marks on the wall that you found today. Take a photograph of them first before you use baking soda, WD-40, toothpaste, mayonnaise, etc., etc., to take them off. They're only little for a short time, and you can use it to embarrass them when they get older. If you need a pee, stop and go, because it's time for the Daisy and Sandy giggle.
Hello
section. A Sandy hello to new to me, been with me for a while now, and been with me forever listeners. I very, very much appreciate you taking the time to tune in, and I hope that you enjoy it. A Sandy hello to a new group member, Sturgeon Bay Girl. Random hello to Jamie and Steve, who continue to be in my thoughts and prayers. She got some good news recently. Bobby, how are you, my dear? I found my 1898 pattern the other day, because I'd been wondering where I'd put it, and then I turned a piece of paper upside down and went, oh, that's what that piece of paper is. And I was wondering how you are. Also, hellos to Stumpy01, Louise Tilbrook, that Denise girl, Cece, and Lisa Maguire, who's going to be running a half marathon very soon. You go, girl.
What's the crack, section?
What's the crack? Just a wee note from last episode. I listened back and kind of neglected to say that the puffin hat of much wondrousness, that's not a word, wondrousness, is from an e-book called Cross Country Knitting Volume 3 by Kate Davies and Jane Arnold Caulfield. My apologies to Jane for missing that vital point. She designed the puffin hat and Kate the scarf. Of course, I realised this when I read her blog, but I didn't actually properly say it to you guys. Both are amazing and we should knit both of them. The way I'd said it was that Kate had designed both of them and, well, most I knew that, I didn't, just like I say, I didn't want you to get mislaid. It's all about the patterns and the puffins. If you're having fun at Shetland Wool Week, I salute you. In my head, it was always in the middle of October, so it was a bit, yesterday when they were all posting about it. It is amazing. So go over to Louise Knit British podcast for the rundown. I try not to overlap with her stuff because she does it way better than me. And plus she's there and from Shetland. However, I'd love to hear all your 60 degrees north stories. Did you know that if you're there, you are on the same latitude as St. Petersburg, Finland and Alaska? And I hope that you grab a bottle of the 60 degrees north gin. It's lovely. That and all the Jameson and Jameson of Shetland wool that you possibly can stuff into your bags. If you are fans of the Outlander programme and you are missing it, whilst the next series is being filmed, then head on over to listen to Subway Knits podcast, where Maria is having a Droughtlander read-along and knit-along. She's starting it on the 24th of October until the start of Series 2 in 2016, which is not that far off really. And she's prizes, and one of them prizes is one of my Tartan Fraser project bags. So go listen to Subway Knits podcast, and if you can't wait, you can always go to my shop and purchase one there. Or you can enter her competitions and you might win some Bijou Basin yarn or a pattern from Geeky Girls Knits or my tartan project bag. Now I'm heading down to Aviemore again on the 11th of October, and this time is to partake in the half marathon. And I've not really been boring you with the training details, but I am in a way looking forward to it. I've done the distance and I've done lots and lots and lots of training for weeks now. Eat, sleep, run, repeat. And the odd rest day. Now it's a case of getting started. And if any of you are doing the Great Scottish Run or any other half marathon or marathons or even a 10k or a 5k or even just running, just try and enjoy the occasion. I got a message through today to say that the latest Natalie Servant pattern is available from her Canadian Art Deco patterns, and it's the chandelier hat, which is a double knit hat inspired from the chandeliers in the Supreme Court of Canada in Ottawa. And you can use fingering weight or DK. And it's quite smart, actually. She's got one in orange and, well, more yellow and red. But the way, you know, the two colours together, it looked orange, it's not. And a sort of grey and dark grey version. Really quite smart. That'd be a lovely thick winter hat for you. And the winner of the 6-bit e-zine was from Mail of With Aimsky Knits, is the actual other mail, the other mail that I have mentioned, and it's No Tail Kit Melanie from Edinburgh. So congratulations, Mail, you getting the first issue of the 6-bit e-zine. And if anybody else wants the 6-bits, you can go to the link that I've got in the show notes.
Coming up, it's there.
Coming up, there is the Geeky Girls Puffin Palooza Retreat shop that sounds amazing. And yeah, I'm going to be totes jealous when this happens. Their event is on Halloween at St. Gillis Centre, Strathairn Road in Edinburgh. And the vendor fair with some fantastic vendors and some fantastic teachers. So hopefully you're saving up for that. The Glasgow School of Yarn is held again at the Charles Rennie Mackintosh Church on the 23rd, 24th of October. And also on that weekend is the Hobbycraft ICHF event at the Glasgow SECC. And that'll be fantastic. So you could spend an absolute fortune them 2 weekends. I am afraid I'm not going down to either. Car was in the garage. Car told me 4 new tyres. Too imminently. So I have to go and see Sandy in the Thurso Tyre Centre very soon. Closer to home for me is the Highland Wool and Textile Fair in Edencourt on the 17th of October. And they are supporting Alzheimer's Scotland, which I think is fantastic. They will have a mixture of crafty things made up and crafty things to use and make, and their vendors are from all over Scotland, and it just sounds fantastic. So if you are headed or are still at a Woolly event in October, now's the time, and I want to hear all about it, and let me live vicariously through you. Tartan-tastic. Last week the tartan I chose was the Ancient Macmillan tartan, and I've had no close encounters of Macmillan kind. Other than, well, the Great Coffee Morning for Macmillan Charity and its Stay Sober for October, which my brother has decided to do to raise money for the charity. So, we've had a slight encounter. This episode, I've chosen another tartan in the shop, which is MacLeod. MacLeod, that's quite a meaty section here. So, branches, we've got MacLeod of Harrison Dunvegan, from which MacLeod of Glenelg, MacLeod of Waternish, MacLeod of Lewis and Rassy, from which MacLeod of Assent. We've got tartans, MacLeod of MacLeod, don't think that's funny, also known as Hunting MacLeod, Red MacLeod, MacLeod of Lewis and Rassy, which is the dress MacLeod. When I say about tartans, remember I said you get different types of the same family tartan, because at one point they just had one, but as they got further down the line they realised that some of the really red ones weren't actually suitable for going out hunting because the deer could see them at 1,000 metres. And the deer were going, well, I'm not wanting to be your dinner tonight. So they made more muted ones, so we've got different versions. Their mottos is hold fast, and the Latin is murus ahinus esto, let there be a wall of brass. Rassi, which is lucio non uro, Latin I shine not burn. Jeez, they're not just happy with one, they've got three. Right, Laud, son of Olaf the Black, which is the Norse king of Man in 1230, had 2 sons. From Tormod or Norman descended the MacLeods of Harris and Dunvegan, and from Torquil the MacLeods of Lewis and Rassy. At this point I wish I had just chosen the one above it, MacLellan. At Dunvegan in Skye, the MacLeods built the present stronghold, which dates from the 14th century. It's the seat of their chief, and it houses, among other the relics, the fairy flag, said to have been given to John the 4th chief by his wife, a fairy princess. but more probably a battle standard of his Norse ancestors, plundered during one of their fearsome raids in the east. The fairy tower was built by Alistair Crotach, or Hunchback, and died in 1547. He was the 8th chief, a master of diplomacy and a patron of the arts, to whom is credited the establishment of the MacCrimmons, not only as a hereditary by Roderick, died 1626, and he was the 16th chief, known as Rory Moore. Knighted by King James VI, he maintained the unenviable balance between political expediency and traditional values while enlarging the Dunvegan castle and his estates. He also devised the exchange which restored Waternish to his line of family, and establishing within his home an atmosphere which poetry as well as music could flourish. Dame Flora MacLeod, the 28th chief, died in 1976 at the age of 98, having travelled the world several times to visit and encourage members of her clan. The island and chiefship of Lewis passed by marriage to the Mackenzies, Earls of Cromarty, at the beginning of the 17th century, through the male line continued through the MacLeods of Rassy, that island having come to Malcolm, younger brother of the 10th chief of Lewis in the 14th century, from his father. The lands and castle of Assent in Sutherland came to the MacLeods of Lewis by marriage and were vested by the second son of the 5th chief. It was Neil MacLeod, 22-year-old Laird of Assent, who betrayed the Marquess of Montrose in 1650, for which he was awarded 25,000 Scots, of which was a fifth was paid in oatmeal. He only got the oatmeal, and most of which had gone bad. Norman MacLeod, 1780-1865, was born in Assent, organised the most extraordinary of all emigration pilgrimages. In 1817, to the wail of the bagpipes and the singing of MacCrimmon's lament, he and his flock set out from Skye for Nova Scotia. Some settled in Pictou, others, after several years, decided to move on with him to Ohio, but they were blown off course and made their homes instead at St. Anne's at Cape Breton. In 1851, he moved on to Adelaide, Australia, and then to Melbourne, and finally to Auckland, New Zealand, where, with the survivors of the original group, he founded the Wapu Highlanders. And I'm sure that some of you listeners may well be descended from them. Quite a meaty history of the MacLeods. Now, I've been to Dunvegan Castle in Skye, and it's very picturesque and lovely to visit. So if you are in that area, do go. Skye itself is a beautiful area, and if you've got your Midgeny or your Smidge and you don't mind the elements, do go and make a pilgrimage to Skye. Oh, the tartan itself. The MacLeod that I've got in the shop is the MacLeod of MacLeod. And it's got green, black, red, yellow in it. And it's very, very nice. And my friend Shirley has got lots of little elements of MacLeod tartan. And she has one for her iPad and one for her glasses, one for her handbag. And occasionally I think, oh, that's MacLeod tartan. And then I remember, she's a MacLeod. Moving on.
The beaker section.
Me section. Firstly, in the sewing machine front. I've been making some more Highland Coo design tea cosies and some Suffolk sheepy ones too. I know I said this last episode, but to the point of today, I have sewn in the rickrack on the tea cosy, which needs unpicked, and then re-sewn. And then I'm just to put the linings in. I did do a fair bit of cutting out though. We had a big office table that was in our sunroom for quite a long time, and it has now made its way upstairs, and I'm using it as a cutting table. I'm going to be very strict with myself and not just pile boxes and bits and stuff on top of it. In fact, when I get the winter job of getting that room tidied up properly, I would like to swap over the tables in there for the one that has a sewing machine on it already, because this office table has one of them holes in the middle that's a plastic cover on it, and you thread cables through for your computer or sewing machines, really. So it means that when I put a cutting mat on the table, it's currently not properly flat. I've been cross-stitching in my head again. I was at Cadence Quilters meeting the other night, and someone was de-stashing their crafty things, and I really could not resist picking up a bookmark cross-stitch puffin. I opened the packet and I organised the threads, but that's it so far. There's a fancy stitch in it called Nun Stitch, which I'd never heard of. So when I get to it, I will talk you through it. In knitting news, it's kind of monotonous, and I am marching through the Ashton Lane shawl by Amanda B. Collins. Using lobster red, neck picks, shadow lace weight and 100% merino. And this ball is wound to heel double to achieve the right weight of yarn for the pattern. The shawl itself is a semi-circle and is knitted top-down from a garter tab. She uses short rows to create sweeping lines in the body of the shawl, which I have done. On the wide border, there is cobblestone texture using increased size slipped stitches and purl rows. I'm now on this part, and last night I was on it, but well, I got to the last bit and it said knit 5 stitches and I had 6. So I must have slipped a stitch in the wrong place. And I put it back in its bag and I'll have a look to see where I got the slip stitch wrong, and that's what I reckon I did, because I was watching telly at the time. I wasn't paying proper attention. These are long rows and it's going slow, but I've only got 25 rows to go. Plenty of yarn yet, so it's just a case of head down and knit on, my friend. I really still enjoy this pattern and I would recommend it to you, even though the long rows. I was talking last episode about having the requirement for 30 beads. I actually found two. One was in my pocket of my gilet for some reason, and the other one was underneath the couch when I went to Hoover. There's a bead, pick it up. But I still needed another 25. So we went to Hobbycraft and I went straight to the place where the Gutterman beads were, and they didn't have the clear ones that I wanted in 4mm. So I stomped my foot, had a bit of a strop to myself, not to the staff, it's not their fault. I realised there was none left. So I thought, oh. And my mum says, well, you could come back to the pattern and just take out the row. At this point, I'm thinking, no, I don't want to do that. And do every second bead. And I thought, no, I don't want to do that. I can go on the internet. I know I can order some more exact same kind. So I had the kids with me and I had mum, and she's very well, by the way. So hello to everybody who is a mum fan. And Cece asked me why my mum has a different accent to me. Well, my mum is not from Caithness. She is from Northumberland. She moved up here when she got married. My dad has been working down there and met her. They fell in love. They got married and they moved up here. And I was born and brought up here. So I have a different accent to my mum. Actually, I had a different accent to my dad too. And so my mum was set free in Hobbycraft. She wanted some Christmas card making things and was browsing quite slowly. The bairns were there who were ping-ponging about the shop and spent quite a lot of time going, don't touch that, don't touch that. And then I found one of them, I can't remember who it was, picking at the beads at the pick and mix section. Oh, I had such a vision of him or her knocking them all over the floor. But this is where you get a small or a big plastic tub and you fill it with any or all the selection, and you pay for the tub for as many beads as you can possibly shove into the tub. Oh, believe me, I did. So, lovely listeners, what I did find was almost the exact same. And I'll be amazed if any of the non-listeners notice, because they're not quite the same shape as the other ones. But none of you lovely listeners will march up to me when I'm wearing my Ashton shawl and say, oh look, Louise, those last 25 beads are not exactly the same. You'd have to go out with your magnifying glass because they're very, very similar. And then I realised that the Gutterman's had been about £4 a small tube, and I could buy quadruple the amount of beads for £3.50 from the pick and mix. I wish I'd noticed this the first time. However, we live and learn, and I have passed this on to you. And I found some boxed beads that were graded with letters, and some had bigger holes in the middle, which would be better then for the knitting and the crochet people. Put your hands up. What's that Beyoncé song? Put your hands up. Put your hands up. I can't remember now. Do your Beyoncé dance. You and the boss. Especially you and the boss. Right, I'm doing my Beyoncé dance. Okay, and if you don't know what the Beyoncé dance is, you have to look it up. So I filled up my £3.50 tub, not doing a Beyoncé dance then, and I thought, ooh, them metallic grey ones will be nice. And I got the bairns to choose a couple of beads. Well, I didn't get the bairns to choose. The bairns chose a couple of beads. Put them in, Mummy. Okay, then. Right, you better do some too, then. Now, in my head, these beads I chose are for the second Ashton Lane shawl that I will do in time. So if you're in the market for beads for your knitting, then do browse with a clear mind, no children, or possibly mothers. She's slightly distracting, but she also has some good ideas. So I assume that the Pick and Mix beads are not name brands like the Guttermans and possibly not as good quality, but I can't tell the difference in the ones that I'm after. I also, in Hobbycraft, got some plain tote bags to add the Highland Coos to for the shop. I also got some Rick Rack in black for the tea cosies and a round polystyrene ring for making a wreath for Christmas. I was quite restrained, actually. It was not very good fun at all. I have a Caithness Quilters Chairman's Challenge to make. We were given a Christmas song or a Christmas carol title, and we had to make something to go with it. And I was given Last Christmas, I Give You My Heart by Wham. Oh no, I've mentioned the C word. The Christmas word. Sorry. I tried to avoid that, and I meant to go back, but yeah, sorry. So apart from wanting to pelt me and Wham with snowballs, I decided to make a wreath with wrapping the polystyrene ring with material and then attaching lots of crazy quilted with Christmas fabric hearts. So Last Christmas I Give You My Heart. Yeah. So I'm going to make a big piece of material with the crazy quilting method and then using a heart template cut out lots of hearts and then somehow bind the edges and then stick them on with either pins, glue or sewn onto the wrapped ring. And this is going to be put in the Christmas in November day that we have at the very end of November. And so it's not a competition, but it's judged. Does that make sense? It's just a who likes what best. So it's kind of a competition. But then it's going to go in sale at the school fair, which is the weekend after. And if it doesn't sell, I won't mind because I plan to make it so nice, I want to keep it anyway. And the school fair is the first Saturday of December. And then I have enough time to make enough stuff to cover the cost of the table hire. And I've been knocking out quite a few wee gnomes from the Corknes pattern by Manny, which is written in Norwegian and obviously translated because I can't speak nor write or read Norwegian. Whilst I have been there, I'm not very linguistic, I'm afraid. And it's a free pattern on Ravelry. And they're fantastic. I absolutely love this. They only take 20 minutes for a hat or a jumper and are wonderful for taking along whilst I'm waiting for the bairns at swimming or cooksool or waiting on the tatties boiling. They are very, very cute. And I've done quite a few with a white rim and a red hat like Santa. And the pattern uses Aran weight, but I've been using double knit and they fit fine. And they fit fine on a champagne popping cork as well as wine corks. And normally when we pop a bottle of fizzy wine or prosciutto or whatever, because we often have that, you know, we're that rich, I have one every night, Sir Winston. No, I don't. But for some reason or other, the children had a couple of them. I think it was for my birthday, actually, and Christmas. But if we pop a bottle of something, the dogs like to chew it. It's this thing. Even Bookle knows as soon as he sees the bottle getting untwisted. In fact, if he hears the wrapper coming off, he's there. Right, I'm ready, ready, ready. Because they love the noise and they get to chase after something. So I think it was last week and I have no idea why. Oh, because prosciutto was cheaper than the bottle of wine in Tesco's. And I'm obviously, that's how I get plastered when I'm middle class. I treated myself and because I wanted the cork. Absolutely terrible, isn't it? Shocking. Yeah, well, I'm doing it to make money. I've still got about 6 or 7 corks to do and I've made six little gnomes. So it's just a really nice little pattern, and I've put loops on their hats so that they can be hung from the tree. And I'll have to get a little tree or stick from the woodpile and use it as a wee Christmas tree on the day to dress up the table. And the other idea, I'm going to make some bunting along for the bottom of the table to make it look pretty. Thank you to Louise Scully very much for her ideas on Pinterest for me to make things. There's some really nice ideas there. So if anyone else has some, please send them for my Pinterest board, because I like Pinterest. In the library corner, I finished off book 4 of Game of Thrones series. It was pretty much death, more death, and a little bit of adventure and a bit more death. And oh, I didn't see that coming, death. And even though I'd seen lots of spoilers, I tried to avoid the spoilers because I always thought, well, I am going to watch that and I am going to read that. But, oh, I want to know what happens. I really would recommend the books to you who have seen the TV programmes. It's much better explained in the books who is who and why who is who, and it's not quite as explicit as the TV programme. And I know that the producers were kind of told off or slacked off or kind of, well, there's a little bit too much nudity and adult content in this. And Richard was asking if the books were the same, and I was like, well, not really. When you visualise something on screen, it is different to when you read it, because you're A, using your imagination to build up a picture from someone's description, and when it's on screen, it's way more visual, and it just doesn't seem to have quite the same emphasis. I think the emphasis is more on the telly programme. But then Richard says maybe that's just to pull viewers in, like teenage boys. Anyway, the writing's pretty good. I quite enjoy it. And I've ordered the next book from the library, A Feast of Crows, so then I'll get to go back to Westeros and play this music again when I do get it.
Shoppy section.
Thank you very much for your purchases the last week. I very, very, very much appreciate it, because then I can buy more corks and more tartan. Now, if you have a family tartan that you would like a bag made out of, please let me know, because what I do is I create a little database of people who have asked, and if they want more than one, it kind of justifies me buying a metre of that tartan. And the next tartan I'm actually going to buy is the Bruce tartan, because one of you lovely listeners contacted me through Etsy, and it is the next tartan I'm going to buy. I have currently some MacLean, Farquharson, Robertson, Ancient Macmillan, and Ancient and Weathered Fraser bags in the shop. The Gordon sold out, but I know I have another Gordon upstairs, and I've got Wallace and something red. Oof, I can't remember. It's a really, really nice tartan. And some Lindsay, and it's one of my favourite tartans is the Lindsay tartan. Cut, not yet sewn together, but cut. That's what I was busy doing on Monday, and since then I have been trying to get back upstairs and sew it all together. So after I have edited and put this out, I have promised myself to go and do some sewing, because I'm trying to attack it like a full-time job. But you people that work in the house know the problem of working in the house. You're in the house. There's always something to do. The phone rings. The dogs want attention. The washing machine finishes. You have to put the washing out because your tumble dryer has broken. And you can't just leave it. And yeah, go on and go on. And then the bairns come home from school and all of a sudden the day is done for going and doing sewing, and then your husband wants attention, and am I moaning? Apparently I sounded a little bit cheesed off last episode. I probably was, but I'm sorry that I sounded it. I did try to keep the blather on a, well, woe is me, but twist it up and keep going. So the shop is sort of like a, treating it like a part-time job. Richard and I were discussing this tonight, and he said, well, you just need to be more disciplined. Yes, yeah. So once the Aviemore half training is kind of done and I'm not going out every day, which I actually kind of enjoy once I'm finished it and looking at Strava results, I will do that. The weather's coming back, so yeah. So the Highland Coo Tea Cozy sold out, which was great, and I've had two pictures of tea cozies in the wild, which was really cool. I was very impressed with that. So I've drawn two more of the lovely beasties, and, well, Marcia Smarta suggested the tote bag, so I've actually bought the tote bag, and I am going to put the Highland Beastie on the tote bag, but bigger than what the tea cozy is. So keep a lookout for that. The Suffolk sheep, I was sewing, machine embroidering their fleece, and less is more, but they're very curly, and I'm quite impressed. I was buying when I was doing it, so you can hear the buying when you're pouring your tea. Would you think you would like a project book with that? But let me know. So if you feel you would like to contribute to my continued running of the podcast but get stuff back as well, then please do go visit www.etsy.com/shop/Caithness Craft, and hopefully in the next 2 weeks there'll be a fair few more project bags and different tartans come back online.
Blah 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 section.
Thank you very much for listening. I very much appreciate you taking the time to download and then listen to me splaff on. My email is caithnesscraftcollective@gmail.com. I am on Ravelry as Louise Hunt. Etsy, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram, Facebook as Caithness Craft. You can access the Flickr photos from Louise J 2010 or via the Podbean site as www.caithnesscraftcollective.podbean.com. The photographs of Flickr are down the right hand side. It really does need updated, that site. It's not my favourite thing doing that kind of stuff, so it's not very exciting, but the music was no music because musicali.com finished, so we've got some of the C because it's restful. I'm working on that. So thank you for listening and keep on crafting.